We're studying the book of Romans. We're just going to look at basically one word. But I'm going to read Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to remind us, to whom is this written? It is very important to establish to who is Paul writing. In verse 7, it tells us exactly to whom Paul is writing. He is not writing to the lost. He's not writing to just save people. He is writing to save people who are called. In Romans 1:7, it says, to all that be in Rome, they're beloved of God. They're called to be saints. And the word called is an adjective describing them. The word saint is an adjective describing those at Rome to whom he is writing. And the word beloved is an adjective describing to whom this epistle is addressed. It's addressed to people who, in verse 16, it says, to the ones believing, present tense, the ones who are living by faith. In verse 17 tells us that it is the just that shall live by faith. And I think it would be profitable for us to look at some thoughts about being just. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it talks about the unjust. I think there's a need to see a contrast. The just and the unjust. Who are the unjust? Well, we're starting with the bad first, because that's the way we always ate off of our plate. We would eat the sugared carrots first, because we didn't like them, so we could enjoy it. I wouldn't even put the sugared carrots on the plate in the first place. But anyway, that's what happens when you have a dramatic experience as a youngster. I did have one over sugared carrots, and to this day I don't like them. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous, this is the Greek word for being unjust, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. And don't let anybody tell you that you can live in sin and expect to have an inheritance in the kingdom. You're not going to have it. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunks, nor revilers. That is, people that use abusive language. Nor extortioners, those who take from others by coercion or intimidation, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So we see a list of sins that we are commanded not to do, not to practice, not to be involved in. Otherwise, there are consequences to pay. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it tells us the law is not for the just. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a just man. A man who is obeying the commandments, he doesn't need the commandments. I don't think about, today I am not going to get drunk. I don't think about that. That didn't even come in my mind. I don't think about that. So I'm not living thinking about the commandments. I just know, when the time comes for somebody to offer me a drink, I say, no thank you. But anyway, the law is not made for a just man, but for the lawless, one having no law, and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers, for whoremongers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. Isn't that interesting? If I missed anything, I'm going to cover it in sound doctrine. And the law is made for those who can't endure sound doctrine. Timothy was commanded to preach and to teach sound doctrine. And we, as those who sit under the ministry of the Word, are commanded to endure sound doctrine. In the last days, men aren't going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers that are going to tell them things that they want to hear. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, it talks about those that are just. Little children, let no man deceive you. Isn't that interesting? This idea of being just, people are trying to deceive other Christians. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is just. If you're doing the right thing, if you're being obedient to His commandments, you're being just. Even as He is just. Now, who is He? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Was He just? Absolutely. He did what His Father commanded Him to do. He was right. So those that are practicing righteousness, and that we could spend probably several weeks on that really one phrase, but doing righteousness is abounding to every good work, ministering to those in need, and so forth. In Romans chapter 2, verse 13, we are told that not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, we're talking about a justification on the level of being, or of the law. There is a justification of the law. There is also a justification based upon faith. So there are two levels of justification. One is on the law. One has to do with keeping the law and living by faith. You got to do both. You can't have one without the other. It's like the horse and carriage. If you're going to go anywhere, you got to have both. Same thing on this. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, it says, they both were both righteous. That is, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were both what? Righteous, and this is the Greek word, dikaios, meaning just. Before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were obedient to the commandments and the ordinances, but today we don't have the ordinances. In fact, I included Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Those have been abolished. But the moral law has not been abolished. You still cannot live in sin. You cannot be an adulterer. You cannot be a drunk. You cannot be effeminate. And so on. Now, not only Zacharias and Elizabeth were just before the Lord, so was Paul. Paul was just. In Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, touching the righteousness which is of the law, he was blameless. He was blameless before the law. In fact, the Lord told His disciples in John 14, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Does that sound like law to you? It sure does. If you've got to keep it. What is the law? It has to do with commandments. If you love Me, you're going to keep My commandments. In John 14:21, he that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest Myself to him. You know, there are benefits to being obedient to the commandments of God. You disobey the commandments, He isn't going to love you like he will if you do obey His commandments. If you if we keep His commandments, we're going to be loved of the Father. And they're going to reveal themselves to you. Not in some smoky thing or some shiny event. He's going to reveal himself to you in how he cares for you. You be obedient. You do what he says. You take care of what's important to him. You know what? He's going to take care of what's important to you. That is the key. You take care of what's important to God. God's going to take care of what's important to you. Now in Minnesota, when it's 10 below, of course it's not that cold today. It's 10 outside today. If you need a coat, he's going to provide a coat. And so forth. Gloves. So, we need to keep his commandments. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and also in verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, or life for the age, the kingdom age, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until when? Until the Lord appears. That's one. If you don't know very many commandments, here's one of them that you can work on for the rest of your life. Fight a good fight. Lay hold on life for the age. We've been called to it. We need to keep that commandment. And we need to be... there shouldn't be any spots. There shouldn't be... We should be unrebukable in this commandment, in keeping it, until the Lord returns. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, talks about his commandments are law. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Isn't that something? Obedience to his commandments encourages us and helps us to appreciate the fact that we know him. When you're rebelling against his commandments, you're beginning to doubt of whether God really cares about you or not. And I'm sure that happens. I've had those experiences too, I'm sure, in the past. So we need to keep his commandments. 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And I believe that this can be a reference to the Holy Spirit, can also be a reference to the Abba Spirit as well. So keeping his commandments makes us just. And to be just means that we are not chargeable. We are obedient. Okay? Now, there are some that are going to say, there's none just. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Have you ever heard that before? Absolutely, I've heard that. The word righteous, and by the way, is the word dikaios, which is just. There is none just. Oops. Well, I just got through reading about 2 in Luke 6. I mean, 1:6. Zacharias and Elizabeth. There are two people that were just. Well, I think one of the places that God must have been joking. No. You don't understand what it means, what it's saying when it says there's none just, no, not one. Who is it that's not just, no, not one? Well, you find out in verse 18, Romans 3:18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Those are the ones that are not just. You don't have no fear of God. You can live and you will live like you want to. You will sin profusely. The fear of God is not to be afraid of God, but to respect the fact that He will judge you according to the way you live. It does make a difference how you live. Saved in the family, yes. And so therefore, we need a wholesome fear of God. in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How can you do this? How can we cleanse ourselves? Well, we know 1 John 1, 9 provides us with the opportunity to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what causes us to go to that place of confession? It's the fear of God. We are not going to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. We're not going to perfect a holy and godly life if there is no fear of God in our heart. Ecclesiastes tells us something interesting. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's a man who's saying, you want to know what the bottom line is? And Ecclesiastes has to do with the bottom line. This is Solomon, you know, laying it out like it is. All is vanity, but here's the bottom line. The conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You want to know what your duty is? Obey God. Obey Him. That's duty. Faith is additional. Faith is additional. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Now, people will come back and say, well, I'm not under the law anymore. It's an awful pious statement, isn't it? I always ask them, I says, well, when was the last time you got drunk or cheated on your wife? Because if you're not under the law, you're allowed to do those things, right? That's to me, is consistency. But here it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No. What this is saying is this, if grace is having dominion over you, if you're under grace, that means that you have gone to the throne of grace to submit to grace. And if you have gone to the throne of grace, you went there on the basis of what? Faith. Because you can't get grace apart from faith. And I'll show you that in just a moment. So if grace is having dominion over us, that means that we are just and we're living by faith. Because without being just, you can't live by faith, and you don't have any faith, you don't have any grace. So therefore, you've got to be just, you've got to be living by faith for grace to have dominion over you. To be under grace means that grace is in charge, grace is in authority. Just like when we are living in lawlessness, you know who's in charge? Sin. The law is in charge. As long as we're being just, we're not under the law. When you're not breaking the law, you're not under it. You're not going to suffer the consequences of it. Okay? Now, Romans 5:21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, leading to age-lasting life. This righteousness here, it's the righteousness of that of being just. How can grace reign if you're unjust? God's not going to give you His power to serve sin. And the only way that you can get His grace is by faith. And you find that in, we'll get there in just a moment, in Romans 5:2, but I just put in here, for grace to reign, it's got to be Hebrews 4:16, okay? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Obtaining mercy, what does that mean to me? Well, the mercy seat had the blood on it, and it's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're delivered from the bondage of sin. And if we're delivered from the bondage of sin, we are no longer under the law. Therefore, God can give us His grace whereby we can serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Notice that it's in godly fear that we serve Him. Okay? Now, Romans 5:2 tells us, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. If you are under grace, faith is operative. And for faith to be operative, you have got to be just. You've got to be living a righteous life before God, a moral life. Now, the just are rewarded. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, let me just make this statement. Living a just life has its benefits, okay? And the benefits have to do with rewards. That's what we're working for. That's what we're waiting on. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that giveth a righteous man, that is a just man, in the name of a just man, And he that receiveth a just man in the name of a just man shall receive a just man's reward. Being just does have its benefits. It means a reward. Then in Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43, it tells us the benefits of being just. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do or practice lawlessness, iniquity. Why is He taking out the ones who practice lawlessness? Because they're unjust. They don't belong there. He's going to not get rid of them. He's going to get them out of there. Okay? They're not lost. Okay? He's just going to get them out of there. They'll be in the way. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. One of the rewards of being unjust is wailing and gnashing of teeth. However it is imposed upon me, whether it's a literal fire or my thought life, anything that causes me to weep, there's no fun. I've been there. I know what it means. We've all been there. Disappointment with people. So, verse 43, then shall the righteous, the just, then shall the just shine forth in this, as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I associate he who hath ears to hear, let him hear, are those who will have a heavenly inheritance. And what we're encouraged here is to understand the just will have an earthly inheritance. Their reward will be an earthly reward. Okay? Now, so being just has its benefits. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, therefore, when we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace by faith whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear produces being just. And having grace is on the basis of faith, and we will enter a heavenly kingdom. Now, I think what I'm going to do is stop right here, not for today, but what I want to explain to you is this. If you have not been called unto His kingdom in glory, and you live a just life, you're going to have an earthly inheritance with glory of the Son in the kingdom of the Father, of your Father. In other words, you're going to have the blessings of ruling and reigning here on the earth because you have been just. That is, if you have not been called. But let me tell you this. if you've been called unto His kingdom and glory, and I believe those who come here are being called unto that kingdom and glory. If you've been called unto that kingdom and glory, and you aren't just, you're not going to rule and reign here on the earth. In fact, you'd better not only live just life, but you better live by faith. Because if you don't live by faith, you're going to lose not only the reward of the just, but you're going to lose the well done, thou good and faithful servant. So it is, in other words, there's a distinction. So what I'm saying, what I'm trying to share with you is this. If you're just, you're going to get a single portion inheritance, the reward of the just. But if you're just and you live by faith, you're going to get a double portion inheritance. It will be a heavenly inheritance. The reward of the just and the reward for living by faith. That's the double portion. But I want to emphasize the fact that if you are just and you're living by faith and then you quit living by faith, even though you're behaving, you lose it all. Okay? You lose it all. So I want to show you how that, works. I'm saying that so that you will help you to understand what I'm getting ready to tell you in Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17:10, it says, so likewise ye, that is, disciples, and by the way, these disciples are called disciples. These disciples are those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. He says, so likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do. If you're just, if you've done just exactly what is commanded of you, you're an unprofitable servant. Man, that's pretty bad. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? In fact, I read that first so you can see he's warning his disciples about being an unprofitable servant. Now, why was this an issue in this context? Well, verses 8 and 9 of Luke 17. And will not rather say unto him that his servant that had been working in the field, he's now come into the house. He tells that servant, you got to keep on working. There's no rest for you, dear friend. You got to keep on working. Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me. In other words, I want you to make dinner, and then I want you to serve it to me. That's what it means. Make ready, and then come serve it to me. Till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? No. In fact, this is an unhappy translation. The word thank is the word grace. You didn't have a word study Bible or computer, you wouldn't know that the word thank is the word grace. And the word doth is a present active of echo. And that word also carries the meaning of esteem. And it says here, what he's saying, did that servant esteem grace? That's what verse 9 is saying. Did that servant esteem grace? No. Therefore, there was no faith involved in that service of that servant's life. Because the only way you're going to get grace is by what? Living by faith. This servant did not esteem grace, therefore he didn't need to live by faith, but he did that which was his duty to do. You know what he was? He was an unprofitable servant. When you are just, you're an unprofitable servant. If you've been called unto His kingdom and glory. Now, if you haven't been called unto His kingdom and glory, then you are a profitable servant and you will be rewarded based upon the level that God has given you to attain. If He hadn't given you ears to hear, you can get a reward by being obedient. Okay? He's not going to ignore a child of His that obeys Him. But a child of His who has been called unto His kingdom and glory and being obedient to Him, and that's all, by just being doing that which is His duty to do, He's an unprofitable servant. Now that word unprofitable is only found one other place in the New Testament. Okay? One other place. And that's in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. I think it is significant that he calls them. He called them. These servants have ears to hear. And then in verse 24 of Matthew 25, then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. In other words, being a hard man, he says, you're going to get your due reward. You're going to get what you deserve, so to speak. And I was afraid, this man said, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. When you're afraid, you cannot live by faith. You know, when you're afraid, you're not trusting God. The fearful are the ones who are outside. You just read that in Revelation 21. Who are those that are outside? The fearful. And the other unsavory characters that are out there as well. The fearful. If you're afraid, you have no confidence in your God. There's no fear of God. And he said he went and hid his talent in the earth. Hiding your talent in the earth is just simply is putting your security in earthly things and not in heavenly things. Where are we to store up our treasures? In heaven. Here's this guy storing up his treasures where? Down here on the earth. Notice what he called him. And his Lord, this is not a lost man, this is a saved man. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. This servant did what? He did that which was his duty to do. He was just, but he wouldn't live by faith. It's just like the young rich ruler. He was just, but he didn't want to live by faith. Okay? And what happened to this servant? Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I personally feel like that if you have been called into His kingdom and glory, you must be just and you must live by faith. If you don't live by faith and you're only just, you're an unprofitable servant. And you're going to lose. You're not going to like serving tables. Now, we often think of outer darkness as something greater than preparing food and serving tables in the kingdom. But let me tell you, when you knew that you could enjoy being at the table, being where the honor and the glory is, because that's what's at the table, you may not be weeping and gnashing of teeth walking around the table, putting the food on the table, but when you get back in the kitchen, you will be. The kitchen is outer darkness, if you want to put it that way, okay? So this unprofitable servant is put in outer darkness. What did Paul say about the judgment seat of Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. knowing therefore the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord was a motivating factor in Paul's life. It should be a motivating factor in our life. Not only should we be living a just life, but we need to be trusting God. I didn't even put this on in your notes, not enough room, but I want you to write this down. This is verse in your notes. Just write a little note. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. I think what this is talking about is a man who is just and living by faith, and he quits trusting God. He quits living by faith. He may continue to be just, but he has departed from the faith. But we are not of them who draw back unto ruin, but of them that believe, or actually of faith. It's a genitive of faith. To the saving of the soul. In other words, if you're called unto His kingdom and glory, and you're just, you're a loser. You better live by faith. You better live trusting God. If you haven't been called unto His kingdom and glory, and you are just, you're going to receive a just man's reward. And I just think about, and I don't have this in the notes either, but I just think about Lot. Lot was a just man. And you know what? Lot had a double portion inheritance where? Outside the land. Outside the land is a picture of an earthly inheritance. Inside the land is a picture of a heavenly inheritance. Land flowing with milk and honey. So if you're just and you haven't been called, you're going to be blessed. If you've been called and you are just and you live by faith, you'll have a double portion inheritance. May God help us to have a wholesome respect for the fear of God and to live a just life, an obedient life, and trust God for the consequences of life. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts and lives. May it glorify Thee. May it profit us. Our desire, Father, is those who have been called unto Your kingdom and glory to stand approved in Your presence and to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into Your joy. Thank You again for Your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful to You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.